Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ. If you'd like to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to be spending some time in this chapter and in other places in the book of Deuteronomy. This evening, it's good to see everyone here this evening. There's a lot that's taking place, and if you were not able to be part of our summer series, especially for the last three Wednesday nights, we were led through an excellent series by Ralph Gilmore, thinking about how we can focus on pleasing God, and as we do that, how we can focus on reaching the next generation. And so those are available on YouTube if you want to catch up on that. But also the next couple of Wednesday nights in our summer series, we're concluding, I think, in a really helpful way. Chad Landman is going to be leading us through two sessions on navigating the digital world. Chad has done a lot in the area of digital parenting seminars and has done a lot of those seminars other places. And so we originally talked about doing that, but we decided we really need something that will encompass the challenges all of us face. No matter what our age group or stage in life is, we're all dealing with different challenges that are coming at us through the digital world in which we live. And so thinking about how we can make choices that honor God and that put God first in that realm are going to be very important. And so he will have two different sessions on that, and so we're excited about that. Our youth group will be with us for one of those as we think about some of the challenges they're facing. But then all of us are going to have some takeaways that I hope you'll be part of. And that's a good subject if you wanted to invite someone to come and to come to Bible class. That might be a great way to introduce them to what we're doing here. We also hope that you're planning for next Sunday to get here a little bit early. That's when our first graders are going to receive their Bibles from our shepherds. And so we'll need to get here, aim for about 10 minutes before worship service. To see that take place. There's just something exciting when you get all those first graders down on the front row and they're ready for that Bible, and it's just a special time. Lots of good photo opportunities. We'll make sure that everybody gets a good chance to take a picture of your child or grandchild, and so we want to celebrate that together. And then that's also Promotion Sunday, and so as we anticipate our new fall quarter, they're going to be going promoting to their classes, and so that'll be an exciting time. Along with that, we're going to start a new sermon series, and the focus is going to be on the life of Christ. There's something about getting back in the routine for school and for getting things going and kind of a new focus for the year that'll really lend itself well to being reminded of the life of Christ. And so we're going to focus on that. The theme is going to be bringing it home, making his story our story. In other words, molding our lives to where they're modeled after Jesus. And one of the ways that we're going to help with that is have some of our children share some stories from Jesus' life on a video. And so you'll start seeing some of those videos. I've got to sit in on some of the recording of those, and this is going to be outstanding. Our kids will do a great job. It's always fun to see some of our little ones share that. We're also going to have something that I'm hoping will be a blessing to all of us, and that is we're going to have a bookmark available for everybody to pick one up on Sunday. And the bookmark will have kind of an outline of where our series is going to go, what the passages are going to be each week. But also on one side of the bookmark will be a series of questions that we would encourage families to get together and to ask. It's a series of simple steps. It really just provides a family devotional guide based on the sermon. And I know sometimes that can be intimidating to think about setting up a family devotional, and maybe that is hard when you're already thinking about your schedule and everything else I've got going on, and now we've got to set aside time, and who's going to organize it, and how are we going to do that? So we're trying to provide a resource that can help with that. So even if you wanted to take that bookmark, and it's just got a few little steps you can go through, a couple of questions to ask, things to think about, things to pray about, you can take that bookmark with you, and you can do that over lunch. You can discuss some of those things just as a family at lunch. As we usually talk about what you learned in Bible class, well, this will give us some structure. And so we're hoping that that will also help us in our focus. And so we're excited about these things, and we hope you can be part of that. So tonight we're bringing to a close what we've been doing. We've been walking with the Israelites as they've been headed to the Promised Land. And we spent time this morning in kind of a brief overview of what they were dealing with in Numbers 13 and 14. That's when they had sent spies to scout out the land, and that seemed like a good idea to Moses. Moses had a list of things he wanted the spies to find out. The spies came back. Not only had they answered those questions, but they also had some questions of their own. He didn't intend for it to be a feasibility study, but they came back and said, "We can't do this." Joshua and Caleb said that they could, but ultimately, the grumbling that went on because of that report that they shared led to that generation essentially disqualifying itself from being able to enter into the land that God had promised. And so there's wandering in the wilderness. Until we get to the book of Deuteronomy, which is when God's people are really at the precipice of entering into this land that they've been thinking about and focused on in the plains of Moab at the end of the book of Numbers. And then we have some specific things that are stated here before they enter the Promised Land. I've seen some pictures, and maybe you have too, on social media of parents moving children into college. Maybe a lot of them, maybe starting their freshman year. And if you've been in a situation like that, or maybe you're thinking about a day of school where it's a much younger grade, kindergarten, first grade, you know those emotions that come as a parent, and there's also the sort of pressure to kind of say, are there some things you need to remember before I put you out here? I'm not going to be able to be with you all day. Now we're going to be in a setting where you're away from me. There are some things that you need to know, some things you need to remember. We can understand that motivation. I can remember several years ago when I was in charge of a group. We'd spent a couple of weeks in Ukraine on a mission trip, and we were getting back. We'd been on planes all day, and we flew into Nashville, and I just thought, because I was trying to be mature, trying to be the spiritual leader, I thought, you know, we really need to have a prayer. We made it safely. We need to have a prayer. That seemed like the right thing to do. So we got off the plane, and I said, all right, we're going to gather here and have a prayer. And I can remember one of our friends who had been away from her family for 2 weeks, she just kind of sighed and looked at me, and she said, well, hurry it up. I've got people to see. And I said, okay, let's get our prayer, and we can do it. You know, so sometimes we get to Deuteronomy, and maybe we have the feeling that Israel's ready to go in, and they're just ready for Moses to get through this so they can get into the land. But there's something really significant that happens in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're not going to read the whole book, but I do want us just to pick up on some highlights there tonight. Because we don't want to rush through this to get to the Promised Land. We don't want to hurry up and miss some of the important things that Moses is sharing. There are a couple of words that we're going to keep coming back to that show up in Deuteronomy chapter 6. A couple of ideas, really. What it means to listen and what it means to love. Listening and loving keep showing up time and time again in Deuteronomy. There's a focus on listening to God, and there's a focus on loving God, and there are implications as to what both of those things mean. But we're at a point now where Miriam and Aaron are no longer living. Moses is there, but Moses, because of his own failings, is not going to lead them into the Promised Land. So he's going to rehearse some history for them and give them some guidance going forward. There are different ways you could outline this book if you wanted to. Here's just one way maybe we could think about it. There's sort of an opening statement, an opening speech that Moses gives. In these chapters, he talks about where they've been, what they have done. This is where you see the Ten Commandments that are given again here in Deuteronomy as God's law is a reminder for them. And then he starts in chapter 12 by giving them some laws to remember. And that makes up a bulk of this book. And then at the end, he gives them some final warnings before they enter into the land. And as I look through this, we're going to share some things that it might not fit kind of neatly in each of these categories, but I think there are threads that run through all three that'll be helpful for us to reflect on. But maybe the most famous verse in Deuteronomy is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, called, usually referred to as the Shema, because of the first Hebrew word that's in this line. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. all of your being is focused on loving God. That may sound familiar in thinking about Jesus' response when he was asked what the greatest command was. This is what he pointed to. But this would not have been unfamiliar. If you'd grown up in a Jewish household, this was very familiar. This was something that was repeated, even daily. Something you would have known and would have been reminded of the importance of. But look at how our two elements show up in this verse. Hear, O Israel, listen. That word Shema, that idea of listening and then of loving God. Listening and loving are going to be closely related because Moses has a lot to tell them. He has a lot of laws to give to them, to remind them of, and so they need to listen. But the way they respond to those laws is going to determine whether or not they love God. So both of those concepts are intertwined. Now, Deuteronomy comes from a word that literally means the second law. And so some of this will sound familiar, but remember, we're dealing with a generation that had been in the wilderness. The generation that we had thought about when we were at Sinai last week when we were looking at the covenant that was made, those who received that, those were not able to enter the promised land. So with the exception of Moses and of Joshua and Caleb, we don't have those people with that knowledge. We have a new generation that needed to hear the law before they entered into this new place. So here are a few principles that I think can help us as we think through Deuteronomy. And the first is the idea that listening to what God has to say will deepen our love for him. Moses begins with history by saying, here's where we've been. And I think sometimes that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to appreciate. Why would Moses start off and say, let me tell you what has happened? This is especially hard to appreciate when we're younger. I can remember as a student, Fried Hardeman sitting in chapel. We had chapel every day, so you had a lot of different chapel speakers that would come in. And a lot of the chapel speakers were people who had gone to school there. And guess what the chapel speakers who had gone to school there wanted to talk about? They wanted to talk about something that had happened in the past, something that had happened in the history of the school, something that had happened while they were there. Those are usually the stories they wanted to share. And I can remember thinking, well, you know, I feel like every speaker that comes in just wants to tell a story about the past. You know, why are we keep talking about the past? Why do we have that focus? And then a few years ago, I was asked to speak in chapel. And guess what I wanted to talk about? I wanted to talk about the past, right? When we're younger, we don't quite understand or fully appreciate. But the older we get, the more we realize the importance of some of those things. There have been a few times in my life when I've had the privilege of walking through Washington, D.C. One that I can remember was on a youth group trip when I was in high school. And we saw monuments and saw museums as much as we could pack into our time there. It was a good trip. I remember appreciating it. But I remember appreciating it more when Catherine and I were able to go. Years later, after we were married and visiting some friends there, we were able to see some of those same monuments, but I had a deeper appreciation because more time had passed. I'd learned more about some of the sacrifices that had been made and some of the stories behind the words that were written in these museums and monuments. And then going with Luke as part of that eighth grade trip that went there, I had even more appreciation than I did the first time. It wasn't that I was ever ungrateful, but our gratefulness, our appreciation deepens the more we understand sacrifices that were made for us and the significance and the reality of what really matters. And so Moses needed them to understand what God had done for them. That was going to deepen their love for him. And so when we begin in Deuteronomy, if you're in chapter 6 and you want to just flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, when we see what happens, your Bible may have a heading here that says Israel's history after the Exodus. That's essentially where Moses picks up. He picks up there and says, here is what happened. And he starts tracing us through and he says, remember when you said this and remember when we did this and remember when we were wandering in the wilderness and you remember when this happened and you remember that. They needed to listen to what God had done because that was going to deepen their love for him. That's why he repeats the Ten Commandments for them when we get to chapter 5. And what he says about obeying God with all of your heart and your soul and your might, that's in the context of following God's law. The more I reflect on what God's done for me, the deeper my love is going to be for him. There's just something valuable about rehearsing what God has done. And that was a part of the feasts and the ceremonies that God put into place in the law of Moses. The Passover wasn't just about having a Passover meal and keeping a feast. It was about rehearsing what God had done. It was about telling your children, well, we were slaves in Egypt, and here's what God did. And you didn't just have the Feast of Tabernacles as a time, you know, to set up tents outdoors or to talk about that. You were reliving what God had done with his people when they were in the wilderness. It was an idea that they're constantly rehearsing those things. It shows up in the Psalms. How many times in the psalmist, when the psalmist is in trouble, do we see the psalmist remind himself, I remember you are the God who brought us out of Egypt. You are the God who delivered us. There's something about rehearsing what God has done that gives us comfort. And for the prophets, a lot of times rehearsing what God did was a reminder for people who knew they should have been living better, and they said, don't you know that you serve the God who did this? So listening to what God has done deepens our love for him. And I love this idea of the way in which Moses is speaking to a generation, wanting them to understand the law. The law of Moses had multiple times where parents were teaching children, where they were passing on what they had learned. And then we see that same process when Paul writes to Timothy about training men who will be able to teach others, who will be able to teach others. That's a really important thing. And I've thought about that as we've reflected on Wednesday nights, thinking about how we can reach the next generation and how we can invest in relationships between generations. And one of the really neat ways that we have been able as a church family to do that is going to resume pretty soon, I think next week, on Sunday nights with our youth group. It's called the 1-2-10 mentoring program, and it comes from the idea of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about not conforming to the world but being transformed, and then verse 10 about loving one another. And it's also kind of a play on words, because a lot of times the groups that are formed for the year will have one adult and then two teenagers, maybe a couple more. And it's a kind of a mentoring chain. So you'll have a high school student and then someone younger and then someone younger, and talking, spending time with an adult. So they'll go over on Sunday nights and begin in a Bible study, but then they'll break up into these groups. And so there are adults active in the lives of our young people who are saying, here's how I'm applying this in my life as an adult. They're sharing and modeling what it means to take the story of what God has done and to make it the story of their lives. And that's really powerful. I think it's a sign of a strong and a vibrant youth program when we have so many adults that are investing their time and pouring themselves into the lives of these young people. And who knows what can happen as these relationships are strengthened and people grow. And so while, of course, the rest of us on a Sunday night will miss having our teenagers here with us, we also know there will be intentionally growing in their relationships with adults. And of course, that's what Paul would talk to Titus about, with the older teaching the younger. That's a way to do that. But there are other ways we can pass on, we can rehearse what God has done, not only in the lives of his people in Scripture, but we can rehearse the ways God has blessed us as a way to deepen our love for him. Can I look back at my life and maybe not know for certain all the ways God has providentially worked, but I know I can identify blessings and I can thank God for those blessings. And that might deepen my love. But it also, listening to this, would have to remind them of where they'd been. It'd have to remind them of what they'd done. In other words, Moses is going to have to rehearse the times where their faithlessness had come into play. Now, it's important when we listen to our stories that we don't forget what God has done for us. I don't think that means we dwell on our past. We dwell on past mistakes or sins. That can be a dangerous thing, to just keep sort of thinking over these terrible things that we've done or that we wish things had gone differently. And that's not necessarily what Moses is doing here, but they needed to understand where they'd been before they could appreciate what God had done for them. I think we see an example of this in the New Testament with Paul. Paul would say, I'm forgetting what's behind, I'm straining towards what's ahead. And if anybody could have been bogged down in the memories of past mistakes, wouldn't it be someone who had been actively seeking to persecute Christians? But instead, he was focused on what's ahead. Now, he'll still refer to himself as the chief of sinners. He still looks at his life with humility. He understands sinfulness without dwelling on it because he appreciates what Jesus had done for him. And listening will deepen our love for God because we'll understand and we'll appreciate the power of forgiveness. A couple of years ago, I was standing and watching a soccer game with a friend of mine who was there with his dad. Both of our sons were playing, and we were watching a soccer game, and he started telling me a story about when he'd grown up. And it was a story of him and his friends, and they didn't do anything that was too crazy, but they were getting a little mischievous in the story, and you could tell that his father had never heard this story before. Parents, maybe you can relate to this. This is new material. And his father looked at him after they were done, and he said, "You know, son, you never told me that story." And he said, "You know what, Dad? I didn't. But that happened before I was baptized, and those things have all been nailed to the cross. Isn't that great?" Put his arm around him. Thought that was a pretty good way to go through, right, to get on. We can have serious appreciation for what God has done. Listening deepens our love, but it also displays our love. Because in Scripture, listening is closely connected with obedience. Now, we have two separate words that we'll use to describe listening and obeying. And so there are some things you can listen to that you can decide, yeah, I'll listen to this. I might even entertain this thought, but I'm not really going to respond to it. But in Scripture, a lot of times when we hear words like hearing and listening, it's not just about understanding what someone is saying, it's about actually doing something. I mentioned the psalmist earlier. How many times will the psalmist cry out, "Hear my call, listen to me, O Lord"? Well, what is the psalmist asking for there? He's not just asking that God would hear the words he's saying. He's expecting some kind of response. Listen and respond. And so the kind of listening that we read about in Scripture is the kind of listening that God would refer to in Exodus chapter 19. When we talked about Sinai last week, you may remember when he talked about them being their particular possession, a treasured possession. And how do they do that? In Exodus 19 and verse 5, that same word for listen, for Shema, is there, but your translation may say obey, if you obey my voice. Because listening and obeying are closely connected. You might think about it this way. If a parent tells a child to do something and then consequently asks that child, "Did you hear what I said?" they're not just asking, "Could you repeat the words that I just told you?" They're asking, "Could you do the thing that I've asked you to do?" Right? Listening and obedience are connected. It kind of reminds us of when Jesus said, "Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, hearing implies action. And listening to God not only displays our love, but it also avoids the temptation of idolatry. And that's very important. When you have the second section of Deuteronomy that begins in Deuteronomy 12, it begins with a clear set of verses where Moses tells them they need to go in and to destroy all the places that were set up to worship other gods. And that really gives some significance to the Shema of knowing that the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That the Lord is one is not a hard concept for us to grasp, but it would have been very challenging in the ancient world when you have all of these places that worship multiple gods. And so your strategy, if you've got multiple gods that you worship, your strategy is, if I want a good harvest, I need to make sure the God over the harvest is happy. If I want a good family, I need to make sure the God over families is happy. If I'm in this place and I'm going to visit this other place, I need to make sure that the God where I'm living is happy and the God of this place is happy. That's the way that they viewed the world. And so to say that God is one, that there's only one God, and you should worship him with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, that means there's no room for diversification. That might be a good strategy if we're investing, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket and a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. In the ancient world, you could do that with multiple gods. Well, I'll do a little bit here to keep this one happy, a little bit here. In the Shema, we're reminded, no, we give everything we have to God. All of our lives, all of our energy is focused on God. That would have been significantly different than the other nations. And Moses knows they're going to walk into a nation that's going to have all kinds of different gods in this land. And they needed to remember there was only one that they were serving and only one they were pleasing. It's also kind of interesting to see how the other commandments are all built on the foundation of giving our whole selves to God. So when Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, Jesus gives them this that they would have been familiar with, that you love the Lord your God with all of who you are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we look in the Gospels and see those four that are kind of added in there. In other words, it's everything we give to God. But then he also says the second greatest commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And he's quoting something else they'd be familiar with in Leviticus 19, this idea of how you treat your neighbor. In Leviticus 19, he says several different things that they're supposed to do or not do in order to show love to their neighbor. But it's kind of interesting because you love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's at a different level than the greatest command. There's only one that we give all of our lives to, right? We don't love our neighbors and we don't love ourselves with all of our being. We give all of our lives to God. Once we do that, then we can love ourselves, then we can love our neighbor, but no one's on the same level as God. And even in Leviticus 19, when God is giving them this command that they need to be sure to love your neighbor as yourself, in verse 18, listen to the way he phrases it. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And that's repeated several times in that chapter. So even the identity of who God is the foundation of how we treat each other. So we give all of ourselves to God, and once we do that, he says, once you've given me that commitment, now here's the way you live. You love your neighbor as yourself. Why do you do that? Because you've given yourself to me. So listening displays our love to God, but it keeps us from allowing anything else to make its way into our devotion. If I'm giving my whole self to God, then I don't have a part to give to this other idol or this pagan god over here if I'm living in Israel and going into Canaan. What would the application be for us? Am I giving all of myself in service to God, or is it tempting for me to diversify? And so I might say, I can trust God in these areas, but you know, in some areas of my life, I've got to rely on my own expertise, my own abilities, my own money that I've saved. That's where I'm going to find my security. But in other parts of my life, I'll find security in God. Or maybe I'll let my family guide me in how I make some important decisions, and I'll let God make other decisions for me. I think Moses would remind us that listening displays our love, and when we listen to God, look at some of the language that he gives in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 2. He tells them when they go in, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and burn their Asherim with fire, and you shall cut down the engraved images of their gods and obliterate their name from that place. He is leaving no doubt as to what they need to do with these places of idol worship. And of course, if we start reading through Israel's history, we can see that that's one thing that kings had a hard time with. A king might come in and take down all of these high places and all these altars, but then somehow they'd get built again. In verse 4, Moses says, you shall not act like this toward the Lord your God, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. This morning in our auditorium class, we're going through the life of David, and so we're at the part where he's come into Jerusalem, taken over Jerusalem. They brought the ark into Jerusalem. And then David's going to unveil his plans for the temple, or his dream of the temple, that Solomon is going to be the one to fulfill. There would be a time when there would be a temple. There would be a place of worship. But even here, Moses says, what matters is the place that God has chosen for his dwelling. In Moses' time, it was the tabernacle. That's where God's presence had been with him. That's what mattered, the place where God had chosen, not any of the places that they might come up with. So he says, listen to God. That's truly going to display your love. And then he gives a reminder at the end that probably isn't a surprise to us, but I think is important for us. He reminds them that listening and loving is going to determine their destiny. what they do as a people will be determined by how well they listen to God and how they show their love for God. And what's kind of fascinating to me about reading through Deuteronomy is all the places, and there's more than one, where Moses gives insight into what they're going to do, things that haven't even happened yet. He says, there's going to come a time when you're going to want a king. Well, when that happens, you need to make sure you don't do this, this, and this. And then you flip over the pages of your Bible and see when they call to have a king and Saul is made king. You can see the very things that Moses says are going to happen, they happen. He was telling them before they went in to the promised land, this is what's going to happen. Listening and loving is going to determine your destiny. So in chapter 28, verse 1, he says, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. There are going to be blessings if you listen and show your love for God. But then a few verses later, he says, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all the curses shall come upon you and overtake you. It really couldn't be much simpler than the way Moses lays it out. If you do what God has said you're going to do, there are going to be benefits and blessings. If you don't, there'll be consequences. Here's why I think that's important for us. It's very easy, especially in the culture we live in today, to buy into the idea that our choices don't really have consequences. If you even just look at sort of what's being marketed to us, very often it's an idea of here's how you can change your life, but you won't have to change any of your choices, right? We can make your life better, but you don't have to change at all. You don't have to make any decisions that are any different. You can choose whatever you want to do, and we'll find a way to get the results that you want. But in reality, we know that our choices have consequences. Decisions that we make have consequences. And if we lose sight of that, we fall into the same trap that they would when they got into Canaan and they got around a lot of other nations that were worshiping different gods in different ways, and it just kind of seemed like this is the way of life here, and here we are, and it's fine. It seems to be working for them. We're just kind of going to slide through and do that, and Moses is saying, be careful, because your destiny is going to be determined by choices that you make. It's an important reminder for us. Before they enter into the promised land, you do get a sense that Moses realizes this is going to be his last opportunity. His last chance to tell them what they need to hear. He urges them to listen to God, which is not just hearing, it's obeying. Listen. Love God with everything that you have. And then we flip over the pages of the New Testament, and we get the ultimate example of what it means to love the Father and have the will be one with the Father in Jesus. When Jesus is praying in the garden, and he says, not my will, but yours be done. We understand a couple of things. We understand the incredible agony and suffering that he must have been experiencing. We can't imagine it, but we understand it was there. How hard it would be to be submissive to God's plan, but we also get a model of what it means to, with all of your being, truly want to do the will of the Lord. Jesus shows us that. How many times does he say, my will is to do the will of the one who sent me? That's what my goal is. I'm doing his will. Listening and loving, an incredible example of that. It's those things that matter. And so as we come to the end of this journey, and we think about Israel stepping into the promised land, all the challenges they're going to face, it's amazing how much wisdom is bound up in these two concepts. It may be that tonight you need to listen. That God has been calling, and maybe you haven't listened. Maybe you haven't made the decision to respond in submissive faith, to put Christ on in baptism, and you can do that tonight. Or maybe there's an area of your life where you haven't been fully loving in the way that you should. But there's part of your life that you've kind of held on, and you've given it to something else and haven't given it to God, and you want to make that right. This is a wonderful opportunity with brothers and sisters in Christ who love God and love each other, to make sure that as we all seek to serve him, we're following these principles that were laid down by God through Moses, and we're thinking about how they can impact our lives. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.